Okay, the parasha is the last parasha in the book of Shemot, which is called Pikudei. What I'd like to talk about, what I'd like to look at today, is the role of Bezalel in building the Mishkan. So the first psukim in Shemot Perek Lamed Aleph, that's in parasha of Kitisa, right? The last parashiyot of the Torah, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisa, Vayakel, Pekudei. I mean, you should be able to, should memorize that. That and 1492. If you know those two things, you do anything. 1492 is very good. It's a very important date. It has nothing to do with America.
The expulsion of the Jews from Spain.
You're kidding.
Forgive me. Sorry.
Yeah, but besides that, it has great importance in intellectual Jewish history. Like everything before 1492 was reasonable. And after 1492, everything became Kabbalah. You know, because that was one way that the Jews dealt with disaster. Because Kabbalah straightened everything out, I guess. Not that I'm an expert, but it seems that way. So look at the Psukim, Perek Lamed Aleph, the Parsha of Kitisa. This is the Perek before the Perek about the Egel, the Cheta Egel, the sin of the golden calf. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor, Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Bet, Re'ei karati b'shei Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'matei Yehuda. Now I would say, Re'ei, right? Re'ei, behold. Behold is like a word that fits into a blank space. It's like a theatrical direction. Behold, like, you know, you ever see in plays, the author has to put in parentheses, happy, sad, concerned, right? You have to, you know, the words don't always tell you what the feeling in the room was. Mm-hmm. The word yirei is a word like that. It's not a word of content, but it's a word of attitude, of feeling. Behold, I mean, like, who says behold? Karati b'shem. Now that's also interesting. Karati b'shem. What does it mean to call somebody by a name? I mean, what did his mother call him? Did his mother call him Bezalel? What's karati b'shem? It could mean, karati b'shem could mean, I gave him a job. I designated him as a function. And we'll see that that makes sense later when we learn the Gemara's interpretation. But Rashi says, Lasot milachti, I called him to do my labor at Bezalel. I called Bezalel to do what I wanted him to do. And here he's given, you know, the first time he's introduced to us in the manner of the Tanakh. His father's name, his grandfather's name, they were important people. Not only did he come from an important tribe, but he was the son of and the grandson of important people, like Uri and Hur l'matei Yehuda. Yehuda, as we know, is the biggest tribe, the most important tribe, the tribe from which the king of Israel was going to come. All of that is Matei Yehuda. Lim Matei Yehuda. And then there is his recommendation. Right? Usually the recommendation is written out before he's chosen, but here the recommendation comes after he's chosen. Pasuk Gimel, V'amalei Oto Ruach Elokim. V'amalei Oto Ruach Elokim. Now that, I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds very important. It's like prophecy. Prophecy is, after all, the exposing God's will. God makes the prophet. The prophet does. The prophet can work to make himself, but at the end of the day, as the Rambam says, prophecy is bestowed. You can be worthy of prophecy, but that doesn't mean it will be bestowed upon you. You have to distinguish these two things. The Rambam clearly tells us what we have to do if we want to be a candidate for prophecy. But at the end of the day, It is God that determines who the prophet is. So here you have Bezalel. It sounds like prophecy, like some sort of special connection. Chachma utfuna uvedat. These are words that could be considered synonyms. Synonyms means I wish I knew the difference between them, but I can't explain it exactly. Right? So there's chachma, which is a word that's often connected to Torah. Right? Tvuna is the word bina, which is also a kind of level of wisdom. Bina and chachma utfuna uvedat. Right, we make that bracha in Shmona Esrei, Atah Choneg L'Adam Da'at. Like we recognize the fact somehow that understanding is divine. Right, I don't mean in the Greek sense, but in some other sense, it was like it's more like prophecy. We're amazed that we understand things. We're amazed that we want to look into things. We see that as being part of the divine in the human being. So that's ubikol melacha, that somehow all of this knowledge and wisdom and understanding is kind of goes into engineering, right? You know, you could be a smart engineer. That's what the pasuk says. So Rashi has some way of explaining all these words. Rashi says chokhmah is Masha Adam Shomea Me'acharim V'Lamed. Chokhmah is what you learn from a teacher. Teacher tells you this is what you do. 1 and 1 is 2. 2 and 2 is 4. You learn that from a teacher. Tvuna is Mevin Davar Me'livo B'Toch Tvarim Shalamad. He thinks about what he learns and he comes to independent conclusions. Now this is very important. Very important what Rashi says, that there are different levels of understanding. The third is Da'at. And Rashi says, Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, you get to understand things and you don't really understand how you understood them. Right? You know, they become very, very special. Pasuk Dalit. This is all about, we're talking about Bezalel, right? We're talking about Bezalel. Pasuk Dalit, Lachashov Machshavot, Lachashov Machshavot. But people do. I mean, they think. I mean, why is this so emphasized by Bezalel? Why couldn't you just say he had a degree in engineering from MIT? But after all this kind of... It's a little extensive. Lachshov machshavot, lasot bezahav v'chesed v'nechoshet. He was able to work with metals. Precious metals, less precious metals. And a lot of the beta, the Mishkan, the tabernacle was built with metals also, not only, but with metals. Okay, b'charoshet even, l'malot b'charoshet eitz, like you knew how to work with stone, how to chisel out parts of the stone so you could add things to it. The same thing with wood. You could chisel the wood and chisel the stone. And all of this, I mean, I find it annoying. I mean, why do we have to know all of this? Obviously, if he was able to build the Mishkan, he was able to build. He knew how to do whatever he had to know how to do. Why does the Torah have to tell us that? I mean, we're not builders. We're not in a course. Pasuk Vav. You see Pasuk Vav? Va'ani hinei natati ito et oliyav ben achi samach l'matei dan. And then the Kodesh Baruch says that Bezalel is Moshe Rabbeinu's assistant. Now Bezalel, he also needs an assistant. His assistant is Aliyav ben achi samach l'matei dan. So this, you know, in the manner of learning, like the way we learn, it's like, what do I have to mention him for, and why do I have to know that he's from the tribe of Dan? And you know, all of this becomes like an excess of details that don't really yield anything to me. I mean, why do I have to know that the assistant to Bezalel's name was Aliyav, that he came from the tribe of Dan? What content is there? I mean, I'm looking, when I learn Torah, I always look for some sort of content. I look for something that I can grab onto and that it's meaningful to me in the place that I find myself. And this is not the case. I have like too much information here. Belev kol chacham lev natati chokhma ve'asu et kol asher tzivitecha. And then there are other people. There's Bezalel, there's Eliyahu, and there are other people. And they're all very smart, and they all have good connection to God, and they're able to figure it out. Right? You know that it's not so easy if you don't know how to read a blueprint to reproduce whatever the blueprint tells you to make. The same thing was true with building the Mishkan. God said, build a Mishkan. And so in the Mishkan, there's a menorah. Right? So that doesn't do it, does it? I mean, you know, everybody knows what a menorah looks like. A menorah, a candelabrum. Everybody could picture in their minds a candelabrum, but everyone's picture will be different. Well, how do you know how to make it? How do you know how to make it? You know that today, since there's a discovery of a manuscript that the Rambam wrote, in which there's a picture of the menorah of Hanukkah, which is triangular. You know, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe got very excited about that, and he thought that must be the way it really looked. Even though, I mean, I want to remind you that the Rambam lived some time after the destruction of the temple, and the Rambam himself never saw the menorah. But there is a picture in the manuscript of the Perish Mishnayos of the menorah that supposedly was in the Beit HaMikdash, and it's triangular. So the Chabadnikim got into that. And so they all have triangular menorahs. And since the Chabadnikim got into it, everybody else said, no, impossible, we're not going to do that. I will do it the way we used to do it, with round kind of... What?
Martinez.
You know, I mean, that's the Jews, more than they like to find out what the truth is, they like to fight about it. So that's where we're holding. But I think on a simple thing like the menorah. Well, of course you have the Ark Triumph. Isn't that what it's called? It's one in Rome and one in Paris or something. You know.
Titusism.
Yeah. And so that's also menorah. The menorah there is round.
Right,
this kind of menorah. But of course, why should I pay attention to that? That was probably chiseled out by a non-Jew. Because Bezalel was long gone, and Eliyahu was long gone. So who did they have? They had like Michelangelo showing the menorah on the thing. Well, you know, he was a good chiseler, but he wasn't a great scholar, I think. Who knows? He may have turned out to be a great scholar. So we have all these details. Pasuk Zayin. Edomo Evet Aaron La'idut Vet HaKaporet Asher Alav Et Kol Klei HaOel. This is what he had to make. He had to make the Oel Moed, which is the tent that in which the Kodesh Kadashim was. Et Aaron La'idut. Right? He had to build an ark. And in the ark they put the Eidut, the witness. The Eidut is... the Aseret HaDibrot, the Luchot HaEidut, they're called. Luchot HaEidut, they give witness to the fact that there was a Matan Torah. What's called in English a theophany, and it means that everybody in B'nai Yisrael, Vav Sivan, the 6 days of Sivan, sixth day of Sivan, everybody in Am Yisrael knew that God was giving a Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. God was giving a Torah to B'nai Yisrael. Through Moshe, it was like an awareness. They all knew it, and that's why the Luchot were known as Eidut. They were the Eidut, the witness for the Torah. Even though the Luchot themselves were not the entire Torah. Pasuk 8. Ved Hashulchan, Ved Keilah, Ved Menorah, Torah, Ved Kol Keilah, Ved Mizbach HaKadosh. These are things that he had to make. The table, everything connected to it. The candelabrum, the pure candelabrum, Torah. Rashi says, "Al shem zahav tahor." Why was the candelabrum? It's a problem, a reading problem. Why was the candelabrum called pure? Right, everything was pure. So he says, "No, it's pure means pure gold." I don't know what that means. As I said on another occasion, I think that gold is very soft. You can't have pure gold. You have to mix it in with something else to make it hard so that it'll stay on your finger, right? If you have a ring, otherwise it'll just collapse. But that's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. Pasuk tetvet mizbacha olav kol kelav. So these psukim at the end, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud, are a list of all the things that Bezalel and Oliab and the Chachmei Lev, all the things that they had to do together. Right? Let's go to Shmot Perek Lamed Hei. Shmot Perek Lamed Hei, the next section on the sheet. Vayoma Moshe b'nei Yisrael re'u. This is God. The first section was God talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. God talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, we're going to get you an assistant, Bezalel. We'll get him an assistant, Oliab. And I'm going to tell him that he has to make all this stuff that we talked about previously. Again, how many parashiyot at the end of Shemot? Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisa, Vayakel, Pekuda. Truma, Tetzaveh are the parashiyot of making the Mishkan that God told Moshe Rabbeinu. Kitisa is the parasha that has the appointing of Bezalel and Oliab to actually do it, right? And our parasha, Pekudei, Vayakel Pekudei, has Moshe Rabbeinu commanding, the parasha says that Bezalel and Oliab, they did it. They did what they were supposed to do. Those are the three places.
The Manisha, it's interesting that here, before it says Re'eh, now it says Re'u.
You mean one is singular and one is plural?
No, just they're using the same verb, the same root.
Yeah, they use the same word. Well, why not?
No, because you said it makes it more dramatic or something.
Oh, I said that?
Like behold.
Behold.
You used the word behold.
Yeah.
So for Re'eh, but now they're using the same word again. So I don't know.
Sometimes you speak to Bnei Yisrael, first time you speak to Moshe.
No, I wait a second. I think you're right, but say something.
I don't know. I'm just.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
Well, you just can't bother us. You have to say, help us out.
Well, one is singular, one is plural.
Okay, good. That's a start.
Right.
No, it is. It is. It certainly is. The singular is God talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? I had a question about why you need the word Re'eh at all.
Right.
Because it's nothing to see. It's a directive. I appointed Bezalel to do the work. There's no Re'eh involved. So if you say behold, you don't mean you see something. It means you become aware of something. Mm. Right? But then at the end where it says Re'u, it may be that we're talking about really seeing.
Oh,
in which case it would be a different word. It looks like the same word.
But it's not?
But I don't think so. Like in the Oxford English Dictionary, one would be number 72, meaning, and the other would be one number 96, meaning. You know, it would be just different. It looks the same, it sounds the same, and maybe they have the same origin in some way, but they're different. They are different. So now look at the next... we just did that. Look at the Shemot Perek Lamed Daled. Did you see the next pasuk?
Yes.
The next section. 1, 2, 3. The third section. Just the first pasuk, even though they're all interesting. Vayom Hashem Moshe Psalecha Shnei Luchot Avanim Tarishonim V'katavti Al HaLuchot Et HaDvarim Asher Hayu Al HaLuchot Tarishonim Asher Shibarta. God said to Moshe, Psalecha. What is Psalecha? What do you do to stones? You use them, right?
Chisel.
You take a chisel and you somehow chisel them into a shape that you're interested in. So psal lecha, you for yourself, chisel out the stones. What stones? The same stones the same kind of stones that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave you when you were in Har Sinai. You came down from Har Sinai. You didn't have a place to put the stones, so you broke them. Right? Do you remember? Moshe Rabbeinu broke the stones when he came down. He saw what was going on in the camp. And then, 40 days later, Rosh Chodesh Elul, God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, now come back up a second time, and we'll do it over again. Except that there's one very serious difference between 1 and 2. In 1, Moshe Rabbeinu went up empty-handed and he received the Luchot from HaKadosh Baruch. Yes? And 2, Moshe Rabbeinu went up, but he was told by HaKadosh Baruch to bring stones with him. It's easy enough to understand that there must be some essential distinction between number 1 and number 2. But the thing that I want to get out of that pasuk now, the thing I want to get out of the pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu could do it. He could do it. He couldn't build a Mishkan. He needed help. He needed Bezalel. He needed Uri. But here it came to Chizigat Stone. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think, when I see those, you know, guys sitting in the street chiseling away at the stones, when they build a building, you know, they put this in Yerushalayim, they still put stone facing on buildings. So they usually have some guy sitting on the ground with the stones, chiseling them out and making them all the same size. I couldn't do that. I mean, you have to know how to do that. What reason would you think that Moshe Rabbeinu could do it? I mean, he was Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, but he wasn't a stonemason. He wasn't, you know. So in other words, you have this odd thing that you have a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu as being an artisan, as having a certain kind of talent that you would not think he had from the psukim about the Mishkan. The psukim of the Mishkan seem to indicate here that Bezalel, he knows how to do it. Implication that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, don't know how to do it. And even if you're not going to do it, but you're going to tell somebody else to do it, it's good to have somebody in charge who knows how to do it. Right? That's a good idea. Even today, I mean, that people buy, you know, people in Israel love to buy apartments that don't exist. And then you have to get somebody to help you, like, when it comes into existence, make sure that you get what you thought you got. So the money that you save on prepaying for the apartment, you lose on hiring all kinds of people to help you get the apartment, you know, set right. So that's what the pasuk says. Psol lecha shnei luchot avanim karishonim. Karishonim, meaning, what is karishonim? Like the first ones. What does that mean? What does that mean? That Moshe Rabbeinu's capacity as a stonemason was kind of equal to God. Just like God did it, so you do it. I guess God did a good job on getting the two, the Luchot Avanim. But it says in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to do the same thing. He's going to do the same thing. And so, Psal HaChashdei Luchot Avanim, V'chatavti al Luchot, V'chatavti al Luchot, this is God talking. I will write on these Luchot that you will chisel out, Et HaDvarim, the things, the words, So in other words, in some ways, Luchot Shniyim are similar to Luchot Rishonim. They can have the same content, the same importance, the same some level of understanding, right? The Luchot, but they're going to be different because they're chiseled out originally by Moshe Rabbeinu, indicating that Moshe Rabbeinu could do things that only an artisan could do. Which brings me back to the problem, why exactly did I need Bezalel? And if I needed Bezalel, let's say, to make Moshe Rabbeinu's job easier, to make sure there'd be somebody else, so why do I have to have this long interlude where Bezalel is introduced, that I understand, and I talk about it? He says, anyway, if you go back now to the previous, to Pasuk Lamed, right, the previous section, Vayomer Moshe b'nei Yisrael ra'u kara Hashem b'shem Bezalel ra'u. We still don't have an answer. So why is it?
It's spoken by Moshe.
He's talking to b'nei Yisrael. Here God talking to like ra'u, plural. But there it really means ra'u. Well, it could also mean behold. I mean, since behold is like an empty word. It means whatever you say it means at that particular moment. Well, there are words like that. Right? Like there are noises that people make that are not exactly... No? Like you laugh. Well, you know, are you laughing because it's funny? Are you laughing because of irony? Are you laughing because you thought something that you heard someplace else? Well, laughing is like not easy, not always easy.
But you know, also the fact that he's making things, you see the things he's making.
He didn't make them yet.
No, but all right.
He didn't make them yet. Okay. You're right, but I don't think. I mean,
so it's not for Raoul like to see something.
Maybe I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, so what I mean is that it's a word that is hard to define.
Okay.
Yeah, but you'll define it whichever way you think is right.
Yeah.
So here there's a mention again of Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur Matei Yehuda. Right? So if you go down to Pasuk Labedalit, it says Lahorot Natan Belibo Hu Valiya ben Achisamach Lamatei Da. Lahorot. Well, what does that mean, Lahorot? I think the Lahorot means to make a determination. Like, let's say there's some doubt. Here, the menorah. Do I do it round or do it triangular? So along comes Bezalel, and he can decide. He has that ability. In other words, you have to imagine, I have to think of, like, what did God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? And what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Bezalel? So God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, make a menorah. And the menorah shab seven kanim, seven, whatever you call them. And and then in there you put in oil. But still, there was the question, how exactly did it look? Did God have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu how it looked exactly? Or was there some opportunity for independent thinking? So that's Lahorot. That's the pasuk, the word Lahorot, pasuk lamedalit. Lahorot natan b'lebo. He gave in his heart this capacity to make a determination. Hu v'aliyav ben achisamach l'matei dan. That's like, who? That's great. Bezalel. And suddenly the Torah says, and also aliyav. What is this? What is this aliyav guy? What's he doing, b'chlal? Why mention him? We've already taken Moshe Rabbeinu. We're taking Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit out of the picture. I mean, he gets the primary information, but it goes to Bezalel, who's going to implement it. What do I need all the apps? So Rashi, there's a very strange Rashi. You see the Rashi?
Yeah.
Right? It's on the left there. Eliyav, Mishevet Dan, Rashi says. The Torah emphasizes that he comes from the tribe of Dan. Dan. And Rashi says, Min hayerudim shebishvatim mibnei hashvachot. He says this was like a miserable group, the tribe of Dan. Miserable. Mibnei hashvachot. They were one of the children. They're children of one of the, the other wives of Yaakov. He had like regular wives, and then he had concubines. No, wrong word. Yes, that's a word? Okay, you can have that word. Veshvachot. Veshvahu amakom lebetzalel lemechad amishkan. And God said, Yaliav is equal to Bezalel. Vuhumi gedolei ashvatev. And Bezalel is from Yehuda. And Yehuda is the big tribe and the good tribe. And all the leadership comes from Yehuda. He says, Gedol Ashvatim Lekayeg Mashenemar. This is what is meant by the Pasuk in Iyob. Velo Nechar Shua Lifnei Dal. There's no difference between a rich and a well-appointed person and a poor and unfortunate. Unfortunately, people have a certain level of equality. So I would say, look, explain this Rashi. You understand? I mean, Rashi gets it from Chazal. It's not an invention of Rashi. But why does Rashi quote it? In what way does that help us understand the Pasuk? I mean, I understand there's some idea that people should be equal before the law, equal before God, or equal before prophecy. I mean, okay, that's good, but what's it got to do with the Pasuk? What does that have to do with the Pasuk? So I would say that this is an indication that Rashi also didn't understand why the Pasuk had to tell me about Aholiyav. And so Rashi says, well, it's for another reason. It's not for the continuation of the story. It's not that that Aholiyav has some special importance that we can point to. Right? It's just that we learn something incidental. Rashi does this many times. And I think it means that he doesn't have a better explanation for the pasuk. He justifies the pasuk in an ethical manner. It teaches me something of ethical importance, and that's important. But it's not what you would usually expect. What you usually expect is that the pasuk is correct. Okay. Now there's the Gemara. I just want to look at the Gemara. Turn the page. You see the Gemara? Let me just, I marked it out here. I don't like, I'm used to a Gemara that looks like a Gemara. But everything is changing. So here in the Gemara, this is Gemara, the Gemara is in the Brachos Tav Nun Chet Amud Aleph.
Nun Hei
Amud Aleph. Thank you. You see, if you skip down, look at the second line. You see the second line? Karati B'Shei Mamar Rav Yitzchak. Eimad Midim Parnasa Letzibur. Parnasa Letzibur is somebody who takes care of the communal affairs. You could call him a gaba, you call him a shamash, you could call him a nasi. You give him a title, but you also give him the power to make decisions for the community. There's a community, so let's say you have a shul, so somebody has to pay the bills, collect the debt, and make sure it's clean. Right? So that's a parnas. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Eimad Meidim Parnas Al Tzibur Ela Im Kein Nimlachim BaTzibur. Nimlachim BaTzibur. You have to consult, right? You can't appoint somebody like the important people get together, like in the shul that I go to. Nobody talks, except for the people who are very important. They talk all the time. And you say, how come you're talking? They say, no, we're doing business for the shul. Which, you know, it's not clear how that works, but they think it works. Omar Rav Yitzchak, Eim Adin Midin Parnas Al Tzibur, and Keim Nim Lachim Mitzibur, you have to ask the Tzibur, Shneimar. And he quotes our Pasuk, Re'u, you see Re'u?
Yeah.
Karati, Kara Hashem B'Shem B'Tzalah. Right, God called out to B'Tzalah, Amar Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Moshe, Hagun Alecha Bezalel. So God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you like Bezalel? Is he like a worthy associate for this business of building the Mishkan? Amar Lo, Ribono Shel Olam, Im Lefanecha Hagun, Lefanai Lo Kol Shekein. If you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, think that Bezalel is the right person for the job, so I certainly concur. Amar lo, avo pichein, lech emor lahem. In spite of that, go and tell everybody else that Bezalel is going to be appointed. Halach v'amalem liYisrael. He went and told the people, Hagun alechem Bezalel. What do you think? Is Bezalel? You think Bezalel is the right appointee to build the Beit HaMikdash? Amrulo, they said to him, to Moshe Rabbeinu, Im lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ulefanecha hu, agun lefaneinu lakol shekein. If you think it's all right, and God thinks it's all right, so I certainly think it's all right. So from this you learn, Amar Rav Yitzchak, go back to the second line at the top, Ein ma'midim parnas al hatzibur, elem kein nimlachim batzibur. So again, the question that the Gemara looked at the parasha, and the Gemara had a problem. So how come we introduced the Bezalel a couple of times? Why do we have to say, oh, here's Bezalel, Moshe Rabbeinu, here's Bezalel. Then again, look around and you see Bezalel, the guy. Why does the Torah do that? Answer, to teach us a lesson. And that lesson is that, you know, Parnas al HaTzibur, somebody who accepts that responsibility, has to have widespread approval. Now, you can't just force the person onto your... you can't force a person into the job. You have to have widespread approval. That's the first thing that the Gemara says about these psukim. Right? So it deals with the question of why it says re'eh, and then maybe why it says re'u. Right? That was your point, right?
Well, I noticed it, yeah.
Okay. Are you noticing the Gemara?
No, I noticed it while we were reading before.
Ah, yeah, good. So there you are. You're like the Gemara.
But the other thing is, and not only that, but it was like, it wasn't just Saba building, it was the Mishkan. So that's all the more reason.
I guess you have to factor it in. Everybody has to factor that in as they can. The second thing in the Gemara, you see the second thing is the first wide line. Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonatan Bitzalel Al Shein Chochmato Nikra. Bitzalel was given the name Bitzalel because of his chochmah, his wisdom. B'sha'ash Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Lechem Olo L'Bitzalel Aseh Li Mishkan Aron V'Kelim. Moshe Rabbeinu, God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, make me a Mishkan, meaning the building, the outer periphery, including the chatzer, the courtyards. Yes, Lechem Olam Haseili, God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, make me number one a Mishkan, the entire thing, an Aron, a second Aron, and third, Kelim, other vessels. Halach Moshe v'hafach. Moshe Rabbeinu went and he did it the opposite way. In the parasha of Truma, which is the first one of the last five parashiyot of Shemot, right? The parasha of Truma. Halach Moshe v'hafach v'amalo asei aron v'kelim u'mishkan. He said to Bezalel, you, Bezalel, make the Aron, make the Kelim, make the Mishkan, in that order. First an Aron, then Kelim, then the vessels, then the Mishkan, then build all the big structure around it. Aron, Kelim, Mishkan. Amalo, Moshe Rabbeinu, Minagol shel olam adam b'nei bayit v'chakach b'chnis l'toro kelim. So Bezalel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't get it. Normally, people buy a house or build a house, and then they buy a sofa. They don't buy a sofa when they don't have a house. So why are you telling me to build the Aron before I build the Mikdash? That's Bezalel's question to Moshe Rabbeinu. Adam bonei bayit v'chakach b'chnis l'toro kelim. V'atah omer, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you say, aseh li aron v'kelim u'mishkan. That's what you said. Make the kelim first. I make the aron first. I'm sorry. Aseh li aron v'kelim u'mishkan. Kelim she'ani oseh, Bezalel says, these kelim that I built, or the aron that I make, Lehechon achni sein.
Where will I put them?
Huh?
Where will I put them?
Yes, but that's not the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is that Bezalel had a kasha on Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, if we're thinking about what's so smart about Bezalel, he was an engineer. Or he was a craftsman, or he was an artisan, and he knew them. So maybe there weren't too many of them. Maybe it was hard to find them, but it was not like a mysterious kind of knowledge or talent that he had. He knew how to do something. Okay, he knew how to do something. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to do that. Okay, we already saw that Solecha is a problem, is problematic. But let's say that he knows how to do something, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know how to do that. Something so remarkable. There's something so outstanding, but here the Gemara says, no, you don't understand what's really going on. There's a story behind the story, which proves that Bezalel was unique and special in regards to building the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bezalel, build the Aron, and then build the Mishkan. Aron, the Kelim, the Mishkan. And Bezalel asked the Kasha. Nobody had that ability. Nobody could ask Moshe Rabbeinu a kasha. Everything came from heaven to Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew what God wanted. How can you ask a kasha? But Bezalel, he asked a kasha. He wasn't a revolutionary. He wasn't trying to start a new political party. He wasn't trying to do something that was unacceptable. Quite the contrary. He did what we could call the essence of Torah Shebaal Peh. If you've ever learned a page of Gemara, or even less than a page of Gemara, you know that what happens on the page of the Gemara is that there's a question about everything. There's always a question. There's never anything that rests in peace. There's always a question. You say, who's the first questioner? Who's the first questioner? Who is it? Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur batei Yudai went to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, listen, everybody builds a house and then builds the stuff that you put in it. Why are you telling me to build the Aron first? Why are you telling me to build the Aron first? And this the Gemara says, Alach Moshe v'afach v'amalu asei Aron v'kevim Mishkan. And not only that, but the Gemara says that what did God say to Moshe Rabbeinu? First build the Mishkan and then build the Aron. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say on his own? Build the Aron first. What did Bezalel say? What do you mean? That's crazy. I have a kasha. I don't understand it. Amarlo. Amarlo. So finally he said to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, Minagol Shel Adam, Shel Olam, Adam Boneh Bayit, V'chachar Machlis L'Tocho Kelim, V'Tor Me'Asel Aron, V'Kelim, U'Mishkan. So Bezalel says, I'm going to make you, I'll make kelim. Where will I put them? How can I make kelim and just leave them out here in the wilderness with no, without a place? Shevakacha malacha kodesh baruchu, asei mishkan, aron v'kelim. Amalo, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, Shema Bezel kel ayita v'yadati. Maybe the name Bezalel comes from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu recognized the fact that he was Bezel Kel, shade. What?
I didn't hear you.
What is he?
I didn't hear you.
That he Bezalel. The name Bezalel is a combination of two words. Bezel is shade. Kel is God. You're in the shade of God. You knew something that Moshe Rabbeinu tried to hide. God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, make the Mishkan first. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, let's make the Aron first. And Bezalel said, that's crazy. You got to make the Mishkan first. You have to make the Mishkan first. And so they called him Bezalel. That's what the pasuk says. Remember the first pasuk that we saw? Ruach Karasi B'Shem. What does Ruach Karasi B'Shem mean? I called out his name. And it was like I named him. He was named Bezalel because of something wondrous that happened. Something wondrous that happened. What was the wondrous thing that happened? That he called out Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, there's something wrong with what you're telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu. So in which case we have left with the question, what question are we left with? So how come Moshe Rabbeinu did it?
Then why did Moshe Rabbeinu?
What?
Why did Moshe Rabbeinu knew that?
Yeah, so why did he change it? Right, I mean, if Bezalel was Bezel Kel, and he knew that you should build the Mishkan before you build the Kelim. So that's what God told Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu change it?
To test him.
Huh?
Testing him.
Test him.
No, I don't go for that. I have enough trouble. So I wanted to learn a little of the Pre-Tzaddik, but I'm going to tell you something that, I mean, if you want to learn the Pre-Tzaddik on your own, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a category of mitzvot, you know, the basic categories of mitzvot are Doraita and Derabanan, right? Doraita and Derabanan. Doraita usually means there's a reference in the Torah Shebichtav. It's written in the Torah. And Drabanan means that it's a secondary conclusion that the Rabbanan come to. And that in history, The Drabanan is later than the Doraita. The Doraita comes from Har Sinai, right? That's what the Torah tells us to do. And the Drabanans come over a long period of time. But there's a third category that that I'm sure you know. And that's called Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. There's a category. Halacha, which we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the Torah. So there were times he told us that here's another mitzvah. Here's another mitzvah, for example, a mitzvah that's not written in the Torah. It's like the mitzvah of Arava on Sukkot. Right? You take an Arava and you whack away at it. So that was not the mitzvah. The mitzvah was that in the Beit HaMikdash, they used to take the Arava, they take long Arava branches, the Kohanim. This is what Rashi says. The Kohanim took long Arava branches, like they were 4 meters high at least, and they'd walk with them around the Mizbeach and then lean them against the Mizbeach. That's how they did the mitzvah of Arava. They did it all the 7 days in the Beit HaMikdash. They did all 7 days in the Beit HaMikdash, and that's called Mitzvat Nevi'im. Mitzvat Nevi'im. It was like the Nevi'im said, it's also in the Torah. I mean, you don't see it, but it's there someplace. So halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai is a halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that's not connected to a pasuk in the Torah. It's not connected to a pasuk in the Torah. Okay? So now remember that. Moshe Rabbeinu went up at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu went up at Har Sinai first time. And he received the Torah. He received the Torah. He went up the second time. He received the Torah again. Was there a difference between the first time and the second time? So the Gemara says, and a lot of the Mefarshim say, that the first time Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, he received it with a kind of clarity, where there was no distinction between Doraita and Rabbanan. There was no distinction. You know that the Chazal said this curious thing. They said that the Avot kept all of the mitzvot, including mitzvot like Eruv and Eruv Tavshilin. They said, like, how could they? What did they think? What do you mean that there was no Torah? There was no Torah Shemichtav. There was no Torah Shemalpeh. So how could they teach? They keep all the mitzvot to Rabbanan. So the answer might be that they had an intuition. It was all clear to them, the Avot. That's what the Chazal tried to say. It was very clear to them what it was that God wants of us. And that clarity ended the distinction between the Doraita and Rabbanan. There was no distinction. There was only the right thing to do and the wrong thing to avoid. That's all there was. There was no Doraita and Rabbanan. So when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai the first time, he received the Torah with the great clarity that came to him, which enabled him to understand, to know, to appreciate that the Torah consists of the Doraita and the Rabbanan, but there's no difference between them. It's all the same. They're all the same. And that's why Rashi quotes at the end of the Parashat Mishpatim, Rashi quotes this idea that Rav Sadia Gaon said that all of the Torah Shebichtav, all the Torah is in the Aseret HaDibrot somehow, that they all, every Diber of the Aseret HaDibrot is a category. And that category includes a lot of mitzvot. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was up on Har Sinai and received the Aseret HaDibrot, he received everything. He received everything. Everything was known to him. Everything was clear to him. But when he came down from the mountain, he had to break those luchot. He had to break those luchot because there was no one to give them to. They were all singing and dancing and running around with the golden calf. And there was no one to give the luchot to. The second time Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai, apparently, there was then a distinction. It was like, it's not all the same. There's going to be Doraita, there's going to be Rabbanan. It'll be something that B'nai Yisrael are going to have to learn. They're going to have to understand. So now you have two worlds. There's the world of the Luchot HaRishonim, which is total comprehension. Moshe Rabbeinu knows exactly what God wants at every moment. There's really no distinction between Doraita and Rabbanan. And that's why we have that residual. We have that halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. Halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai means that for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's all God's word. It's all Torah. There's nothing else. There's no other reality. There's no other reality. So, Bezalel, on the other hand, he's a person who has a thought process. He has a svara. He doesn't take authority on the face of it. He says, it can't be. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, it can't be. So the story has to be retold as follows. Story that we're talking about has to be retold as follows. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, talk about the Mishkan, right? According to the Gemara, God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you build first? Important to remember that. What? Mishkan. First you build the Mishkan. Mishkan meaning the building. First you build the building. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, he says, no, I know what it really is. I know what it really is. What is it really? It's a place where we put the Aron HaEdut. That's what the Mishkan is. It's not a building. It's a place where we put the Aron HaEdut, in which we have the Torah, the Luchot, and we also have the broken Luchot. The broken Luchot from the first time I was up at Har Sinai. And what does that all mean? It means that I know the essence of it. I know the real of it. Not just the secondary nature of it. I mean, secondarily, you have to build the house before you build the Aron, because that's normal, that's regular. But if you understand what the Mishkan is really about, as Moshe Rabbeinu understood it, you know that the Mishkan is really for the Aron. It's really for that box that includes the Luchot, the broken ones and the unbroken ones. And so Moshe Rabbeinu said, for me, the Mishkan is the Aron. So when he went and he talked to Bezalel, he said to Bezalel, so you have this story, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, build the Mishkan first, before you build anything else. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's okay, I understand what God is saying, and it makes sense for Bnei Yisrael, but it doesn't make sense for me. For me, there's only the Luchot HaEdut. There's only the broken tablets and the whole tablets that I broke down from Har Sinai. That's all there is. There isn't anything else. And therefore, when he spoke to Bezalel, he spoke his mind, so to speak. He spoke in the only language he could speak. And he said, build an Aron. He said, build an Aron. Bezalel lived in the world of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And what is Torah Sheba'al Peh? Torah Sheba'al Peh is, I'm not sure. Are you sure you're right? What does anybody else say? How do I explain that? I mean, that's the world of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So Bezalel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, remarkably, he says, look, Moshe Rabbeinu, I live in a world where there are questions. I live in a world where things are not obvious. You say I should build an ark, but isn't it true that people build a house before they build the kelim that they put into the house? Isn't that true, Moshe Rabbeinu? And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't respond. But he said, you, Bezalel, represent Bezalel, the shade of God. You somehow figured out what God wants of you. But that does not contradict really what I said, because for me, the Mishkan is the Aron. So if you ask me after this little speech that I made, if you ask me, so why did we need Bezalel? Or why did you need somebody to help Moshe Rabbeinu build the ark? Is it because Moshe Rabbeinu would never have built the ark? He would never have gone past the Aron. He was not capable of saying that there was a new reality, that there was a new Torah, that the Torah now had questions and answers, and Torah Sheba'al Peh. For Moshe Rabbeinu, everything was halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. It didn't matter if anybody else saw it. in the Pasuk. He saw it. And therefore, for Moshe Rabbeinu, there would only be an Aron. And that's all that they needed, and that's what they wanted. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to appoint somebody who on certain ways was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, who would build the Mishkan as it was needed after the Chet HaEgel, after this terrible event of the Chet HaEgel. Have a good Shabbos.
It's interesting because we see in Devarim that...